Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though the big game is on Sunday, you get big gain every Tuesday on Battleborn Tech, where your tech questions get tackled, reviewed, and occasionally fumbled. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. FM 95.1 are streaming at knvc.org anytime. Wondering if you should have a cash soundbar for the big game? Call Battleborn Tech, 775-241-3571. In any tech huddle, the smart play to call is always 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the host and callers. This week, we welcome Bill, Robert, and Brian. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Corps. KNVC calls the play. Computer Corps keeps the bench ready. Battleborn Tech dives on the loose ball.
Well, let's see if I can come up with a sportsing pun as well. I'm planning on having CPU chips and dip switches.
A good one, Joe. a little for the older folks, but who else is listening? Probably just the older folks.
Exactly. Well, anyhow, I do have a hair on fire security alert, a WhatsApp bug. And I know there's not as many people in the U.S. using WhatsApp as there are people in other countries using WhatsApp. But if you do use WhatsApp, which is a Meta product, just be aware that, especially if you're using an Android phone, there is a flaw in WhatsApp that will allow a specifically crafted multimedia file, like a photo or a document, and it has hidden code in it, and the parser will execute that code, and that's a bad thing. It's a hack. So if you're on an Android phone, you need to go to settings and just don't auto-download photos, audio, videos, or document. Turn off auto-download for that. And that'll help keep you safe. So we got three phone calls, as Christy mentioned, and I think we're going to kick it off here with Bill. And Bill, he doesn't like cloudy days.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Bill. I'm calling back because I'm wrestling with how to keep my work that I'm saving on my PC off of the cloud.
There's okay.
Something that I don't want distributed or whatever, and I'm not quite sure how to keep that from happening. What can you suggest?
Okay, so you got a Windows computer, maybe, I'm guessing?
I do, yeah.
Okay, one of the first things is to watch out for that Microsoft account. It really tries hard to get you on OneDrive, and right. You might even not know that's happening. Have you been able to avoid that?
I have been able to.
All right. Well, good. Good for you. You're a couple steps closer. Even better. All right. So,
it's kind of sneaky sometimes. And how?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They call it a dark pattern, but that's a whole nother show. But yeah. So a couple options there. One, you don't want it on the cloud. Can I ask why? Or don't reveal anything,
I have some writing I'm doing for my family.
Okay.
And I'm thinking I might put it together in some other format, and I just don't want the information out there.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things. It's called on-prem is the fancy way. You can certainly save it on the computer like you want. You can back it up to external hard drive. So that's one of the simplest and easiest. It's a little USB
wire that plugs into a box, an external box, and in that box is a little storage device, probably an SSD by now, but might even be an M.2. Could be spinning. And you can save that there. I know some people that do a backup to an external hard drive, take that external hard drive to another location, like a safety deposit box or a friend's house, and then they bring back a duplicate back from there. They just swap it out, bring it back, right. And then they switch back and forth, so they always have an off-site copy. That's old school, the way to do this. So that's certainly something you could do as well. External hard drive that you either keep on premises or that you swap out, put it in some other place. So that's one way. Another way to do it is we've got really good encryption now. You can explore some encryption options. So encrypt the file, maybe zip, put it in a zip file with a password that's fairly secure. And you can put that into a zip file into that and then put it on some, your Google Drive, your Dropbox, your OneDrive, wherever you want. Just move it on over there, but zipped up with a strong password. And that will keep most of the people out pretty well. And that will be an offline storage for you on cloud, but it won't be easily accessible, maybe not at all. I mean, you can go to even more options for encryption, and we got really good encryption now. So you can right. you can do that. And then you know that's a lot easier than driving to your friend's house or your kids or where parents or whatever you want to do back and forth, unless you're going there anyway. To swap it back and forth. And so that's another way to use the cloud, but not use a cloud. If you're really into it, I mean, it takes a little technical, but Amazon Web Services got really cheap storage. But if you already have Microsoft Office, it gives you gigabytes of storage free. So you don't have to use that for OneDrive account and copying everything. You can use it just separately to put files up, encrypted there,
and that's not on the cloud.
It is on the cloud, yeah, but it's encrypted on the cloud. So what you're storing is a bunch of garbage characters. So even if they get it, they go, oh great, I got garbage, because they don't have your password or your key. They're not going to get it. They're not going to get right. any of the garbage if you encrypt it. An easy way to do that is I use one of the zip programs to zip it up, say it's encrypted and put a password on it. That'd be the simplest way to do it. There's also other things. You can have a drive that's encrypted and then back up that drive, or a folder that's encrypted and then back up only that folder to the cloud.
Okay. You do a lot of layers. Yeah.
You just don't want to put plain text out there on the web. I understand that. You don't want it up out there. Do that. They're not really interested so far in intellectual property. They like to lock it up and then, you know, encrypt it themselves and say, hey, you got to pay us money to get your data back. They really don't want the data. They want money. But those are a couple ways to do it. Make sure you get a good – don't use a USB stick. Those things die without warning. I wouldn't use it for anything but temporary and transfer storage on that. Get an actual external hard drive for that kind of thing. All right. Well, good. I hope that book, I hope you let us know when that book comes out.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe a little footnote. Thanks, Technical Help, Battleborn Tech. A little tiny footnote. Maybe.
Take care.
All right. Hey, thanks, Bill.
Well, I kind of kept it simple for Bill, and that's fine if there's not a whole lot of people looking into your Google Drive other than bots trying to sell you something. However, if you want to, you can use Zip. Windows has a break built in. It's not the best encryption. You really want to boot it up to 256 AES, and you can do that with 7-Zip. So if you're going with Zip, you can do that. But that's only for a couple files. If you want to do it, you know, pretty constantly, take a look at Cloud Crypt. CloudCrypt. I got a link for that. That's bbtl.ink/CloudCrypt. What it does, it makes a little folder vault that everything you put in there gets encrypted, and you put it up on. It's made for OneDrive and Google Drive and Dropbox and all the ones. Take a look at that. Again, it's at bbtl.ink/CloudCrypt. They got versions for everything. If you want to go a little bit more, that you want to take a look at VeraCrypt. V-E-R-A-Crypt, C-R-Y-P-T. VeraCrypt is also something I'd recommend. But those are kind of the stair steps in complexity, security, and versatility. So Zip, and then 7-Zips, then CloudCrypt, then VeraCrypt.
Do you have to upload your files to them first to get them encrypted before loading it in? Or does it happen locally?
All this is local. Everything is local, on-prem, as we said on the crowd. Everything's there. Yeah, and that's good. You know, Joe, that's a good thing. You know, that's something to be thinking about more and more about encrypting anything on-device before you send it out over transmission or over the cloud. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's another thing to consider, especially if you're working a job or something where you need some form of security, like you're working in the legal profession or you're working in the medical profession. You know your laws better than I do, that's for sure. But make sure you turn off the embedded AI in whatever operating system, because AI just loves to skim just about everything and then send it to
everyone.
Yeah, send it to the cloud servers where AI can parse it and learn from it. Yeah, don't be caught in that. So we got a second phone call here. This is Robert, and Robert's got Wi-Fi that ain't fi-ing.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Christy, this is Robert.
Hey, Robert, welcome back. What's up?
I was hoping you could help me set up one of my little devices. I got here. It's a Google one. It's called a Nest Hub.
Oh yeah. Those are fun. Yeah. Those come with free YouTube Music, I think, or something. So be on the watch for that when you get it set up. So what's going on?
Well, you know, it has its own screen. I'm trying to get it all connected up to the internet and set up, and it just it says it got connected, but then it just sits and nothing. It's unable to get to the next step.
Okay, so it says it's got connected. Usually you're doing it with your phone, right? Because you got to have the Google Home app, right?
Right.
So, and your phone and silly question, your phone and your device are on the same wireless network. Like, do you have more than one wireless network?
I do. I have one that's for my personal use, and then another I set aside for all my little devices. It's more secure and protected than my personal one.
Okay, well, separated. That's okay. That's okay if you actually have something like a router that splits that off into two different subnets. That's possible. A lot of times, Wi-Fi will have your regular Wi-Fi, yay, and then it has a guest Wi-Fi. Is it and it's usually like if one's Joey Wi-Fi, the other one's Joey Wi-Fi guest. Are you possibly connecting to the guest Wi-Fi?
Yes, I think I might.
Well, it don't tell you that. This show is pretty much things they don't tell you. That could be our subtitle. But the guest Wi-Fi, we're not going to work with anything fun. You're going to have to get that onto one of your other subnets, one that doesn't have restrictions. But the guest network is specifically for guest access to the internet, which means you go from here and you go out. You do not stop. You do not talk to anybody. You don't bother anyone. You don't move anything. You go right out of the house on the internet. So if you put that Nest thing on. That Nest is a hub, actually, and it's trying to reach out and talk to everybody and, you know, shake hands and be good. And then the guest networks are not here. Not with me, you don't. So if you switch, get that guy off the guest Wi-Fi and onto the regular Wi-Fi, that's what at least one of the problems. There may be others. But that'll get you further along, okay?
All right. That sounds like a plan. I'll give it a shot.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling Battleborn Tech.
Well, that's something that when you got your Wi-Fi so secure, you can't use it. I don't know where that's always security versus convenience is always a big thing. I got to watch out for those guest Wi-Fi because by default, they are locked down, and that's a good thing. So if you're using it for what it's intended for, to give a guest, someone in your house or whatever, to get out on the internet, fine. But if you want to hook up inside the house with IoT devices, intelligent devices, or smart hubs or something, yeah, you got to stay off that guest account. Speaking of watch out what you're doing, Art and Asteroid, we talked a little bit more, and I need to give you a little more caution about Asteroid is more like a swap meet than a big box store. Excellent stuff, maybe, and you're closer to the source, sure, but you need to pay a little more attention to what you got. So side loading can be useful, and Asteroid is a solid option as an open source repository if you know why you're using it and what you're getting. Remember, turn the permissions off only when you need them and then turn them back on or off and on, depending which way you're looking at it. Anyhow, unlock it when you need it. Lock it back up when you don't. And if a tablet fights you all the way, it may not be able to be unlocked. That may be true. So watch out for that.
Well, folks, I've been getting a lot of phishing emails lately, and some of them are starting to look really good. So remember, if you're not expecting the email, if you're not expecting the text, don't answer it.
Maybe not ever answer. We're getting to the point where you don't ever answer. You go right to the source, typing it into your web browser. Or heck, you can still call your bank most times.
Exactly what I was going to say.
And don't call the phone number in the text.
Please don't. Yeah. No matter how legit it looks, go ahead and
don't click the link. Yeah. No.
Call your bank. The bank phone number is usually on a check. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
We got another phone call here, and this is Brian. And Brian has issues with slow Windows 11. I feel that pain.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Christy, how are you tonight?
Hey, doing good. Let's see how you're doing.
Well, I've got a slow laptop. I'm not quite sure. I wonder if you could help me with it.
Okay. All right. Is it fairly recent? Are we talking?
Yeah, it's a 10th generation, so about 5 years. So about five years old. Is that right? Roughly in that same range.
Yeah. Great. So it's Windows 11.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me take a guess. Does it get a really huge hard drive, like a terabyte or something?
It does exactly. Your guess is exactly right. It's got a terabyte. Yeah.
Well, my guess is that that's a spinning drive because they just don't throw terabyte M.2s or SSDs in laptops. So sure. It's a spinning drive, and I volunteer work at a refurbisher, and we're not allowed to put Windows 11 on spinning drives.
Really? No more.
Yeah, not allowed. It's just too slow. Hey, guess what? Because it's slow. Hey, gotcha. What do you call it that? It's slow. Yeah, yeah. So the dirty little secret is round about the last couple of years of Windows 10 and definitely in Windows 11, spinning hard drives are just way too slow for Windows anymore. You got to have solid state. So you got to have to get out of that solid state, and it doesn't do any good to have a lot of space you don't use. I bet you're not using it unless you're storing a
I think I'm using it.
Movies and videos and probably things you shouldn't. Or if you take a lot of photography, that can do it. But you can put that in external drive, a USB drive, and use it storage that way. But you really first thing you need to do is copy that over to and replace with an SSD, an M.2 if you can, a little stick of memory. That will really help on the slowness. Anything else you're noticing?
I think I have, from looking at the specs, I think I've got, how much, 8 gig of RAM, I believe. So is that
That's enough? Barely enough. That'll be a slow. Okay. 8 gigabyte is if you do one thing, get done with it, shut, turn it off or close it out, banish it from memory, and then start up the next thing. We don't usually work that way. You usually have one or two or three or four things going.
Yeah.
You probably want 16. And the important thing is sometimes they do some weird things like 12. You don't want 12. You need evenly divisible by four. So an 8 or a 16. That way the chips are matched. You got 2 8s. Okay.
Gotcha.
Or if we're 16. And that way it can write to one memory. Or read it, and then while that's working and it's recovering, you can switch over to the other one, and it can kind of ping pong back and forth, and that way it doesn't have to wait for the memory to refresh and to be written and all that, because it's got another memory ready to go. So it sort of takes turns, and it really speeds it up. So, but if you have an uneven, if you have an 8 gig and a 4 gig for 12, well, I can't do that, and you lose a lot of speed. So there's another speed thing.
Okay. Right, and the last thing I think I have, I do have one other thing. I wonder if it's if I might have injured and it damaged the laptop. I see the keyboard's a little bit swollen. It seems to be a little puffy.
Okay. Well, if it's starting to lift out of the case, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like puffy keys or anything. I don't know what.
No.
But if it's starting to lift out of the case or the seam around the seam around the edge of the laptop's coming out, that probably means your battery is puffing up. It's kind of sort of dangerous. Shouldn't be leaving that plugged in. Don't take it on an airplane. Tell me, do you typically leave this plugged in all the time?
I actually do. Maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah,
be doing
don't
that.
Do
is
that.
That what you're talking
about? Yeah, don't do that. Now, the newer ones, the smarter ones, will watch for that, especially on the phones. And they won't let it overcharge, or they'll slow down the charge.
Okay.
But you don't want to keep banging that up to the full amount all the time. You want it to let it discharge. You want it to roll between 60% and 80% charge if you can. Sometimes software will do that for you, sometimes not. You're probably looking at a battery replace. All in with the service, the SSD, memory probably. Memory is really expensive lately. You're probably looking at dancing around 300 or something.
Okay.
Or you could do it on your own for less for the cost of parts. But memory is dear right now. But it's definitely worth it with the test gen. I would recommend taking a look at doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling Battleborn Chuck. You helped yourself and helped a lot of other people out there with slow laptops. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we pretty much went over, Brian, a lot of hardware things. And, of course, there could also be software reasons for slowing down a laptop. Anything from too many things running, you take a look at Task Manager, Control-Alt-Delete Task Manager, see what all is running. Take a look at startup apps, and if there's something you don't need or you don't recognize, just turn it off, especially that Edge browser jumping in all the time. You don't need that. So those are a couple of things. Another strange thing is if your laptop goes to sleep in a couple minutes, it'll never update. So sometimes after a while, updates get clogged up in the, and it really slows down. So we want to check for updates as well on the software side. Speaking about clogs, here's a truth bomb. Inkjets are like goldfish. You got to feed them every week or they just don't make it.
And then flush them down the toilet when they die?
Sometimes. I wouldn't recommend that with an inkjet, but it gets that way. If you let your printer sit, the inkjet, the ink dries up, the nozzles clog, and they're smaller than the hair on your head, those nozzles, and they don't unclog easily. And pretty soon it's a paperweight with a power cord. I see piles of these come into the shop. Sad people, too gunked up to save, and we don't even take their money to look at them because, hey, you know, it's going to cost more to repair, and we probably won't be able to than to get another one. Easy fix, go to printertester.com, printer tester. There's two ERs on each of those words. Totally free, no ads, packed with handy pages. test prints, keep your nozzles open, full color swatches to spot bad cartridges, alignment checks, even ghost printing detectors. Great. One click, one page, once a week, your printer stays alive and kicking instead of clogging and croaking. PrinterTester.com.
Is there a way to put that into, let's say, a task scheduler so that it automatically prints a page every week so you don't have to manually do it?
Yeah, I suppose you could. You could download some test prints and do it, but that would be, I don't know, that'd be kind of surprising. All of a sudden you're just sitting around, all of a sudden your printer starts spitting out pages. I don't know. Maybe you need a little excitement in your life. I would think I would do a reminder that says, hey, go to Printer Tester, or hey, when's the last time you print your inkjet? Something like that.
Okay. Well, Christy, I think we've come to the end of our show. How about some words of wisdom going out?
This has been Battleborn Tech. Call or text 775-241-3571 anytime from anywhere. Thanks to our callers, Bill, Robert, and Brian. Want to be like them? Leave a message at 775-241-3571 and gives us a good window to call you back and to record some tech help for a later show. 775-241-3571. For consulting and tutorials, visit your local neighborhood computer shop, Carson City's Library's Tech Busters, every Monday at 3 p.m. Carson City Senior Center's Tech Help, midday-ish on weekdays, or a computer user group like CarsonCityLinux.org, meeting third Saturdays at Computer Core in Carson City. Theme music by Breakmaster Cylinder. That's break like halftime, not break like your car. We're huddling in the locker room, getting ready to battle tech next week. Without our engineer, Joe Bly's BBT strong safety is... When a call is muffled, level spike, or chaos breaks loose, he saves the radio play. Produced by Christy Ramsey, who gets phone calls from the practice squad to starting lineup by airtime every week. Ex post facto checking by Anthony, who's up in the booth with the all 22 view, texting us corrections while the play is still unfolding. Notice some of our jokes are courtesy of ChatGPT, whose fumbles on the humor has made us send it to the benchmarks until it times out. Battleborn Tech reminder, KNVC is a community, nonprofit, volunteer radio station. No government funding, no corporate overlords, just people like you, keeping the lights on and the mics working. If you value that, visit knvc.org and click donate. Our email is questions@battleborn.tech. That's questions with an S at the end and T-E-C-H after that. Our latest links are at bbtl.ink/stats, S-T-A-T-S. Get the links you missed there. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Carefully review this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at knvc.org in the local program section or bbtl.ink/shows. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Pacific, right here on KNVC FM 95.1. Stay tuned for the local music show, High Desert Music.
That's right, Christy. We've got Molly and Elise bringing you the best in local music. It's a great show. Stick around.